President Trump's impeachment trial is over, but federal and state authorities, as well as congressional committees, are still pursuing more than two dozen investigations into Trump and his businesses. For more, we're joined by Washington Post reporter David Farenthold. Hi, David.
Hi.
Well, let's start with Congress. The impeachment inquiry started there, of course, but what other congressional investigations of the president are still active?
Well, there's a lot that are theoretically active. I think a number of committees, including the Judiciary Committee, are looking at sort of following up on pieces of the Ukraine inquiry, trying to get John Bolton to testify, learning more about what Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney knew. Obviously, a little bit of the urgency of that is gone because of the impeachment inquiry is over, but I think they want to follow up on that sort of stuff. I cover Trump's private business, so the things that I'm really watching are the financial investigations. So there's a couple different ones that are now kind of headed for a climax in the Supreme Court. A couple different committees, Ways and Means and Oversight, are trying to get copies of Trump's tax returns and other tax documents from his tax preparers and some financial records from Deutsche Bank, his lender. The hearing is going to be on March 31st before the Supreme Court about whether they can get those documents.
And what's the likelihood that the Supreme Court will say yes?
This is such a novel case. It's really hard to know. I think the Trump people have hurt themselves, though, and putting on my amateur legal scholar hat here, the arguments that they have made in these cases about why these committees can't have these documents are so broad, basically saying no one can investigate the president at all, either in Congress or in local law enforcement until he's out of office. I don't think that the Supreme Court is going to want to endorse that. As conservative as the Supreme Court is, I'm not sure that's going to work.
There's also a lot of precedent over the decades of presidents releasing their tax returns and not having any harm come to their presidency as a result of that.
That's right. And the precedent in the Supreme Court, there's a case involving Richard Nixon, another case involving Bill Clinton, where both presidents sort of sought to use the presidency as a stonewall to keep people from prying into what they'd done. And in both cases, the presidents lost unanimously at the Supreme Court. This divided Supreme Court, I don't know if we'll see a unanimous decision, but that's good precedent for those who are trying to get Trump's records.
The president's campaign and inaugural committee are also under investigation. What's going on there?
Well, the latest in the inaugural committee was the D.C. Attorney General. The District of Columbia has its own Attorney General and who sued the Trump's inaugural committee because it is a D.C. registered nonprofit for basically wasting charitable funds by handing it over to Donald Trump. But one of the things that they found was that the Trump inaugural committee had paid $1 million to the Trump Hotel in D.C. to rent a ballroom that they didn't really even use that much during inauguration weekend. It seemed like the purpose of the inaugural committee became sort of to funnel money back to the Trump business. Now, that lawsuit just got filed. It's in its early stages. And even if it succeeds, it's not going to put anybody in jail. It just may shut down the inaugural committee and regain some money.
You've also been looking into some of the president's conflicts of interest related to his businesses and possible violation of the emoluments clause, which we've been talking about for a couple of years now. What's going on there? And is that likely to go anywhere between now and Election Day?
Well, the short answer is it's not likely to go anywhere between now and Election Day. What we thought when Trump took office and kept ownership of his business and used that business to do business with foreign governments and with his own U.S. government, both those things seem to be pretty clearly outlawed in the Constitution. The Constitution says presidents can't take payments from foreign governments and can't take payments from the national government beyond their salary. But because no president had ever really even come close to that line, it was written in the Constitution, but there was no kind of case law. There was no precedent. There was no there was nothing for the courts to go on. Courts love precedent. And so by sort of shattering the norm, Trump gave himself this enormous head start where for the last couple of years or last 3 years, all the people who sued him over the emoluments clause have been bogged down in just the initial step. Well, who can sue the president over the emoluments clause? Whose job is it to enforce that? And you've seen all the different avenues that have been tried. There's plaintiffs from the D.C. and Maryland attorney generals. There's Democratic members of Congress. All of them have been rejected at one stage or the other, and they haven't even gotten sort of over the hump of getting discovery, sort of learning what business Trump has done with foreign governments.
David, the president and his allies have, as you know, gone after the Biden family and Hunter Biden for, they say, profiting off of his father's name by taking a job on the board of this Ukrainian gas company, Burisma. Is anyone looking into the president's children and whether they have been able to profit off of his presidency?
So the two sons, Don Jr. and Eric, who are out of the White House, still run the Trump Organization, which has always profited off the Trump name. Now that Trump is the president, they profit off the name of the president. So that means at Mar-a-Lago and at Bedminster and at the Trump Hotel in D.C., places where the president often goes, you know, the value of those places to potential customers is astronomically raised because if you get there and you get the president's ear, you can influence his decisions on a number of topics. So it's not like they've taken a job with a new company as far as we know, but their old company has been sort of retooled to profit where it can off the president's name. And there's one other aspect of this that I think we're just learning about. We published a story about it last week, which is the Trump Organization charges the taxpayers, us, to house Trump's own Secret Service agents. When Trump goes to his properties, Secret Service agents go with him. They have to. And the Trump Organization has chosen to charge those Secret Service agents above market rates, like $650 a night for a hotel room, $17,000 a month for a cottage in Bedminster, New Jersey. The taxpayers pay. So that's something where they're directly profiting off the taxpayer because Trump is president.
That is David Farenthold of The Washington Post. David, we'll be following all these threads along with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.